Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
When they plant something, it'll grow. You won't have to plant 100 acres to get, you know, just a little bit of good, because something's going to be lost. Nothing's going to be lost.
And you're going to feel good about all of it. And you're going to have endless energy. You're going to have perfect environment. You're going to have perfect bodies. You're going to have perfect everything. No sighing. That means you're not going to get up from tying your shoe and sigh. Tying your shoe. Made it. My back didn't go out, right? Verse 9 says, "Then saith he to me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Now, what you have to connect to here is this word, worship God. It connects back to when the plagues are being poured out in the bowl judgments. When God sends forth angels right before in those woe judgment, He says, you know, worship Him who created everything. He's trying to warn everybody at the last minute. He's saying, worship God. He's the one who's the creator. Stop worshiping the land. Stop worshiping the lie. Stop worshiping your lords and ladies that are telling you what's right when they're all wrong and you know it. That was the whole thing about the tribulation. It was an altar call. The Bible says, "And seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book," verse 10. "For the time is at hand." He wrote this somewhere around 90 A.D. And it's at hand. Why? Because this dispensation is the dispensation of grace. It's gone on for 2,000 plus years now. And here we are looking at 4,000 years since the flood, 2,000 years probably up to that time. You're looking at like 6,000 years, and many of the rabbis believe that 7th millennia might be the millennial kingdom where rest and perfect government and everything's going to be restored and good. Well, it's a nice thought, and I like it, because it means we're almost there. But we've had 2,000 years of grace because God is patient. And even right before He pulls the trigger on judging the world, He actually sends 7 years of upheaval so people will still get on the ark. He's saying, "You won't get on the ark, I'm going to move you toward it." And the people keep running to the left and the right. "No, I'm not going in the straight gate. I'm not going in the straight gate. I'm going to do it my way." "Well, that's not going to be all good for you. You need to go to the door." "No, I'm not going to the door." I say that because He tells them, "Seal not this book," because He wants this open. He told Daniel, when Daniel was writing the book of Daniel, He said, "Seal that book." And He told him it was sealed. Jeremiah was told to actually throw a copy of the book into water or something. It was some crazy stuff because they could not understand those things. Well, we have Him saying, "Don't seal this. This is for my people throughout the church age so they will know." God wants you to know. It's like you as a husband. It's not real till you tell your wife. You as a wife, it's not real till you tell your husband. Once you start telling him, it's like we're having a conversation around the kitchen table. And we have something we agree on or we don't agree on. But the Bible says the time is at hand. And it says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still." When you read those words, a lot of commentaries go on about it. But from my perspective, what I believe is happening here is God is saying here at the very end of the Bible, right after the tribulation has been laid forth and the millennial kingdom and the new heaven, He's told everything. He's actually showed His complete hand. He's laid it down. He says, "Here's what I'm doing. Here's where this is going. And I need you to get right with God right now. Go to Jesus right now. I need you to do that. Because without Jesus, you're going to be damned for eternity. You need to hate the lie and love the truth." One of the sins that was pressed upon the Thessalonians, Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonians, he talked about all their ungodly deeds, which they ungodly do, and they're going to be damned for it with the everlasting punishment because they receive not the love of the truth. You can unpack that, all of those verses I just put together all in one, but it's the idea of they didn't receive the love of the truth. They didn't do it. I hope you love the truth, man. The truth is great. The truth is amazing. Because it not only tells me what's true now, but it tells me what's true in the days to come. And because I know that He has me in the palm of His hand, and no man can snatch me out of His hand, I mean, we're safe, we're secure, He's got us. You can take the storm, you can take the wind. The Bible says in Jeremiah 51, in verses 1 and 2, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her roundabout. That verse is talking about Babylon near in Jeremiah's time, which was coming against Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, you know, they had 70 years in Babylon. Babylon had 70 years back then. But this was also Babylon far. Day of trouble. And when he's done with the 7-year tribulation, he's fanned the world. He's like winnowed it. And people who had a speck, maybe just a smattering of a sensitivity to God. You've met them, right? They're not totally mean against things of God. They just aren't Christians. They have not come across the line. They respect you, maybe. They curb their language. I had a guy do that a couple weeks ago. He was talking to me and I shared with him a few things. And he says, "Man, Dave, you've just blown my mind." The rest of the day, he was curbing his speech. He'd get ready to say a word and he'd say, "Oh, sorry." And he wouldn't say it. Why? Because there was a sensitivity there. The tribulation is a winnowing of the world. It's an altar call. He's going to turn the world upside down and a great multitude will get saved. And I believe when he says, "Let him that is unjust be unjust still, filthy be filthy still," he's saying it's going to be clear. You're going to know. They had all the evidence they needed to get on the ark. And the ark is Jesus. To run to Jesus. To give your life if need be at the guillotine, or give your life in the deprivations of not having water and ability to listen by yourself because you're not taking the mark. Revelation 22 verse 11 says, in the New English Translation says it this way, "The evildoer must continue to do evil. The one who is morally filthy must continue to be filthy." Because after this, it's going to be happening forever. After this, they're going to go into eternity, and it will be clear that God was just and God always had given everyone every opportunity. You live in a day right now where people say, "What about this and what about that?" on every hand with God. They'll say, "What about the people in heathen lands?" And yet at the same time, they'll say, "I can't believe you guys go mission field, because you go somewhere on a foreign field, you're just turning people's world upside down. How dare you, you people?" The Bible says even if no missionary breaks through, that those people are without excuse if they don't come to a knowledge of a Creator who not only gives them a conscience, but also gives them the witness of creation. And hopefully if they begin to interact with that and move toward that, they can be like the man who was a missionary who broke through with a group that was already worshiping what they called the God of the Thumb, because he was making some pottery. And he says, "As I was making this pottery, somebody made me." And they began, and he began to worship the God of the Thumb. And everybody said, "What are you doing?" And he'd say, "Well, I told him my thoughts." And then when he came in and told him about God, the true God, Jesus, they understood who he was. It was just a hop skip. And I'm saying to you, the Bible says that God has revealed to those who've never heard, and he's revealed it to them in the tribulation. This is a godless generation who does not know their Bible. As a result of that, they are still without excuse, and they are still culpable. And what God will do is he will turn the apple cart over so they can take all their illusions and look at them very clearly. And he says, "Let those who are immoral, let them be immoral still. Let them that are filthy, them that are unjust, let them be such still. And them that is righteous, them that are righteous, let them be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Those are people who had that nugget of heart that was really tender but never had a clear word. The Bible says in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly," second time he said it, "and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be." And he says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city." And it says, "For without," outside of that city, or it's actually not outside of that city. I've said that for years. The word literally means away from. Exo is the word. Some far away. It's not like they're not outside the door thinking, "Where can I get in?" The word is exo. It means out. And out are the dogs. Out are the sorcerers. The sorcerers are the pharmaceutical people. People who traffic in pharmaceuticals. It's pharmakia. Pharmakos, it's pharmakia. For out are the dogs. Dogs are people whose hearts have been cauterized as with a hot iron. They have no conscience anymore. They are brute beasts. They are dark in their core. Their light is darkness. The Bible says, and out are the sorcerers. Out are the whoremongers. Out are the murderers. Out are the idolaters. And out, listen to this, are anyone who loves and makes a lie. Are we living in a day of lies today? I think we are. They're on every hand. They liked it when they got away with the Darwinianism that we were here for millions and millions of years, which makes you right away question the Bible because it said the opposite. And they got that one ingrained in a whole generation of people who started living like muskrat love kind of stuff. And then when they got to feed those kids in the schools of all kinds of, well, critical race theory now is the big thing, but there's been a whole lot of stuff they've been teaching them. They've been trying to hand out condoms forever. Now they're handing out condoms to 8-year-old children. 8-year-olds. They've got books that would make you blush. I've seen some of the books that have been in some of the children's, the school board meetings where they're not even wanting to talk about it. And the parent has to say, if you don't want to talk about it here, why are we talking about it with our kids? I'm telling you guys, this is a world that has gone mad. He says, out are all those people. They love, they make lies. They love and they make lies. All of those are out. Verse 16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. He's saying, I was before David and I was after David. I was the root. David came from me. And he says, and I'm the offspring of David because I came from David. I got both sides of that equation. David was a king. I'm a king. But I raised up David to be the king, to show what a king should look like, at least when he was in his moments of humility. And the Bible says he is the bright and morning star. Bright morning star is that last star in the morning that kind of flickers or whatever. You understand the concept. And he's saying, you know, that 90 AD thing. We're a long way away from that. I'm the bright morning star. The last star you're going to see. Everything else is going to fade to black a little bit here. Everything else is going to be blotted out because there's going to be so much distraction. He says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The word is come in the imperative. If you really were to translate it fully, it says, they say, you must come. You must come. The Bible says, and let him that hears say, you must come. Let him that heareth say, come. He says, and let him that is athirst come. And what he's saying here, it says, let him that is athirst coming, let him take. So that's a participle. Literally, it would say, let him that is athirst coming, and whosoever will take, you must receive the water of life. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. Obviously, he's amplifying the good things they're going to miss out on. And the Bible says in verse 20, he which testifies to these things saith, surely I come quickly. And when I come, it's going to be fast. He says, even so, John answers, come, Lord Jesus. And then final word to the world in which this was going to be the most important book ever, which is the tribulation people, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If somebody's lost, they're going to need grace. And Jesus is all about grace. Jesus is the manifestation of grace. We didn't deserve him. And yet there he is. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.